Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, April 30th, 2015. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Youths of the opposition movement for democratic change formation, led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, today clashed with the police in the full glare of some leaders of the Southern African Development Community.
We have some of our guys who have been injured, but there was no arrest that was made. They are not going to arrest us because we are now geared for action and we are prepared for action. When we get into the streets, we'll be prepared enough.
Some of Zimbabwe's leading legal experts are expressing mixed feelings over a lawsuit filed by two organizations forcing South African President Jacob Zuma's administration to declare a state of emergency in xenophobic hotspots.
Zimbabwean farmers have actually gone to South African courts seeking redress on matters that actually took place in Zimbabwe. And we believe that we have the legal standing to approach a court to seeking protection of foreign nationals that are in South Africa.
And an oncologist says women should stop using skin bleaching pills and creams, as the long-term use of these products may result in skin cancer.
There's a problem of not taking away the shelter the pigment gives to the body from the sun. And one of the manifestations of that damage is development of skin cancer.
Youths of the opposition MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai today clashed with the police in the full glare of some leaders of the Southern African Development Community. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
About 400 MDCT youths took to the streets of Harare for the second time this week, protesting and calling on SADC leaders to address the dire political and economic situation in Zimbabwe. The placard carrying protesters singing revolutionary songs and denouncing President Robert Mugabe's government waved some placards inscribed, and I quote, "SADC must act on Zimbabwe now." One of the protesters, Yepi Mochidziva, leader of the MDCT Youth Assembly, told Studio 7 that today's protest was meant to send a clear anti-Mugabe message to the SADC heads of state and government who were leaving the country following the completion of yesterday's SADC Extraordinary Summit focusing on industrialization.
Today we went into the streets of Harare because of the issues, that the challenges that the Zimbabwean people are facing, especially the challenges around the issue of electoral reforms. The government of the day doesn't want to give to the people the real reforms that we need for us to have a free and fair election. The issues of the grade 7 registration fee that is being put in place with the Minister of Education, we are saying no to that. The issue of the jobs, the government promised us 2.2 million jobs, and we know that right now we have more than 4.4 million people who want jobs in Zimbabwe.
Chidziva said police pounced on them in the full glare of some SADC leaders, who included Lesotho Prime Minister Pakalita Mosisili, whose motor vehicle convoy was leaving the city central business district for the Harare International Airport. The MDCT youth leader said two protesters were seriously injured during the clashes, but no arrests were made by the police.
The riot police came in two pickups. That was the time when some of the SADC heads of state were in their way to the airport. So they didn't want us to give the message to the SADC heads of state. So they started out beating our people. And we have some of our guys who have been injured, but there was no arrest that was made. Basically, they are not going to arrest us anyway, because we are now geared for action and we are prepared for action. When we get into the streets, we'll be prepared enough and there will be no arrest. And let them know that the Zimbabwean people will protect their right to demonstrate.
Studio 7 failed to get a comment from Home Affairs Minister Kembo Mohadi, while police spokesperson Senior Assistant Commissioner Charity Charamba said she was not aware of today's clashes. Charamba, however, urged those who want to demonstrate to first seek police clearance. ZANU-PF legislator for Gokwe Nembudzia, Justice Mayor Wajgajena, said the MDCT was singing for its supper. The MDCT is currently boycotting parliamentary by-elections, saying it will not participate in any national poll until the country introduces wide-ranging electoral reforms. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Some of Zimbabwe's leading legal experts are expressing mixed feelings over a lawsuit filed by the Black Business Forum Zimbabwe and the Zimbabwe Exiles Forum, compelling South African President Jacob Zuma's administration to declare a state of emergency in xenophobic hotspots in terms of the State of Emergency Act 64 of 1997. The two groups have filed an urgent chamber application in the South African High Court, citing the President, Home Affairs Minister and Foreign Affairs Minister to take measures against xenophobic attacks that have so far claimed seven lives. The applicants also want Zulu King Goodwill Zwelithini and Zuma's son Edward, among other people implicated in fanning the anti-immigrant violence, to be investigated, arrested and prosecuted for the crimes. Constitutional law professor Love Momaduku says the chances of the case succeeding are very slim, noting that, quote, the doctrine of separation of powers makes it difficult for the judiciary to interfere with the executive, end of quote.
Maduku said the courts will always give the president room to maneuver in cases like this, adding that courts can only interfere in extreme cases, but in this matter, it will be difficult for the courts to say President Zuma has not done enough. Harare lawyer Terence Hussein concurs, saying the applicants have an uphill task in trying to convince the court to compel Mr. Zuma to declare a state of emergency. But human rights lawyer Dewa Mavinga says the applicants stand a good chance and have a genuine case because the South African government reacted too slowly to the spreading wave of xenophobic violence. Washington Mehlo Makulu, Secretary for Economic Affairs in the Black Business Forum Zimbabwe, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, Pretoria has been slow in taking action on the xenophobic attacks.
We are basically asking the South African government to implement what they have undertaken to do in a legal way. Remember, following the xenophobic attacks, the South African government has made certain undertakings. And we are simply saying these things must be codified in law. The main argument that we are making is that, firstly, we are asking that the President Zuma, in terms of the state of emergency of South Africa, as well as read with Section 37 of the South African Constitution, declare a state of emergency in South Africa, only in the areas that have been affected by xenophobia. Secondly, we are asking the President of South Africa to compel the police commissioner to investigate all reported cases of xenophobia. We are also asking the President to compel the Director of Public Prosecution to prosecute all cases that have been brought by police with respect to xenophobia. In our application, we have also cited the Speaker of Parliament of South Africa, and we are asking the court to order the Speaker of Parliament that within 1 year from the date of this application, that South Africa comes with an anti-xenophobia law.
But is this not a legal overreach, Mr. Mehlo Makulu, in that Mr. Zuma is the president of South Africa, and should he be compelled by foreigners to actually declare state of emergency in South Africa?
Remember, our co-applicant is actually a South African institution. The Zimbabwe Exiles Forum is a South African institution. And in fact, we do have local standing. In other words, we've got legal standing to approach the South African courts for protection. Recall, this is not the first time. If you remember, Zimbabwean farmers have actually gone to South African courts seeking redress on matters that actually took place in Zimbabwe. And we believe that we have the legal standing to approach a court to seeking protection of foreign nationals that are in South Africa.
And that was Secretary for Economic Affairs in the Black Business Forum Zimbabwe, Washington Mehlo Makulu, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Oncologist Dr. Bernadette Ntoro said women should stop using skin bleaching pills and creams as the long-term use of these products may result in skin cancer. Dr. Ntoro tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawiye most of the skin bleaching products contain harmful ingredients that leave the skin vulnerable to diseases.
Some women are actually taking tablets that will then kill off the pigment of the whole body. So if it's tablets, then it means they have effects elsewhere in the body where we cannot appreciate the changes. But I think whatever changes are taking place, they are very central. They are deep in the cell and they are bound to affect other functions of the body.
What are the effects of some of these tablets?
The primary reason why they are taken is to kill off the melanin, the pigment, the skin pigment. But then the skin pigment is made by cells. And since these are tablets, you know, the active ingredient is going to travel all over the body, it's bound to affect other cells in ways that are not apparent right now. But I'm sure if somebody was to look for the effects, they will find them somewhere.
Are there any diseases that may actually result in the long term following the use of some of these skin lightening tablets or creams?
Diseases, yes, they can arise. Allergies can arise. And sometimes some allergies, once you have triggered it, then it will never go away completely. And then there's the problem of taking away the shelter the pigment gives to the body from the sun. So once you've removed that, it means the skin is prone to being damaged by the sun. And one of the manifestations of that damage is development of skin cancer.
That was oncologist Dr. Bernadette Ntoro speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawiye in Harare.
MDC leader Welshman Ncube today bemoaned the worsening plight of Zimbabweans and the general economic decay as the country prepared to commemorate Workers' Day tomorrow. Ncube laid into ZANU-PF saying its disputed electoral victory has brought nothing but misery for millions of people. Record unemployment, debilitating power outages, underpaid civil servants, and a $12 billion debt overhand are some of the ills that have come to define the ZANU-PF rule, Professor Ncube said in a statement. The ZANU-PF government has failed to create 2 million jobs it promised in its election manifesto, and analysts say the government has no viable policies that can extricate the country from its troubles. Reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached MDC spokesman Joshua Mhambi.
We are stuck in a situation where we have a crisis when it comes to the number of workers that we have in the country. But for those that remain part of the workforce, the situation is that we are in serious trouble as we speak. We don't have adequate salaries, we don't have adequate facilities and so forth and so on. So we are faced with a situation where our workers are strangled in many ways than one. Schools are opening, they don't have money to pay for their school fees. Right, so with a really terrible situation, but our message as a party has been that people eat what they vote for. So we're trying to shift our solutions, start with who we vote into power and what they are capable of delivering to us.
What do you want to see as a party being done by the government to address the issue of poor wages and high levels of unemployment?
Essentially, I want to claim that we do not have a government. It's totally dysfunctional, disoriented, and does not know what to do. In short, our government is clueless. You have people that are drawing a salary, allowances, and all sorts of benefits, but there is no spill-off to those that should ultimately benefit. So essentially, there is no government to talk about.
That was MDC Ncube spokesman Joshua Mhambi on the line from Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer analysis of President Robert Mugabe's remarks on xenophobia and the Kalanga people.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The first spacecraft to orbit Mercury, the closest planet to our sun, will run out of fuel and crash on its surface today, ending its 11-year mission.
U.S. lawmakers in the House of Representatives are considering legislation to increase funding to Kurdish Peshmerga and Sunni forces fighting Islamic State militants in Iraq.
The death toll from Saturday's earthquake in Nepal has risen to nearly 5,500 people, officials say today, as teams continued digging through rubble and aid groups worked to get much-needed supplies to survivors.
Vietnam is holding a parade to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the military victory that ended the Vietnam War and reunified the country under communist rule.
U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders of the northeastern state of Vermont says he will seek the 2016 Democratic presidential nomination.
Burundi has unexpectedly closed its national university in the wake of political protests against the nomination of incumbent President Pierre Nkurunziza to run for a third term.
And a Pakistani court sentenced 10 men to 25 years each in prison today in connection with the 2012 shooting of Nobel Peace Prize laureate Malala Yousafzai.
Some Zimbabweans have been egged by President Robert Mugabe's remarks in which he scorned the Kalanga people for allegedly committing crimes in South Africa and engaging in other uncouth activities. Mr. Mugabe made these remarks at a press conference yesterday, soon after the end of a Southern African Development Community or SADC extraordinary summit in Harare. His remarks have been criticized by most Zimbabweans, who are now demanding an apology from the 91-year-old president, saying he was not supposed to attack his people in that manner. Before making the remarks, Mr. Mugabe urged Africans living in South Africa to go back to their countries. At least 78 people died in the xenophobic attacks which started in Durban. Some South Africans believe that foreigners are grabbing most jobs in the country and engaging in lucrative businesses supposed to be for indigenous people. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo reached Difa Dube, a Zimbabwean Kalanga living in Britain, and Morris Ngwenya, a political commentator and ZANU-PF activist. Ngwenya says some people are taking Mr. Mugabe's remarks out of context for their own benefit.
The president gave an example of people that we see who frequently cross the border into Botswana or South Africa. The Kalanga tribe, as well as the Xhosa, was just an example. And I'm surprised that many people are only talking about Kalanga, as if you only talked of Kalanga, yet you even talked of Xhosa.
And Mr. Dube, what's your reaction to the remarks made yesterday by President Mugabe?
I am proudly Kalanga and proudly Zimbabwean at the same time. So I'm looking at our president as our father. Our father should be someone who should be the unifier of the nation, regardless of being Xhosa or Kalanga or Ndebele or Shona or whatsoever. Our father should be the unifier. We were so much heartbroken yesterday from the statement which was directly to the tribe of the Wakalanga. And the reason why actually people were so much revolted by this statement, because it's not the first time that this statement has been brought forward. These are the kind of things which makes yesterday's statement to be something which is so provocative. If you go in South Africa, for instance, if you go in Pretoria, most people that you meet in Pretoria, they speak Shona. There are so many Shona, there are so many Kalangas. You know, it's a mixture of people who are in South Africa. But all these things, you know, is because of trying to better, as far as the economy is concerned, into our country.
Mr. Ngwenya, what's your response to that issue? And looking at what's happening with the xenophobic attacks within South Africa, what what kind of ramification would this have?
Like I said, the comments of the president were taken out of context. What the main point that the president raised is, firstly, people in Zimbabwe are interrelated with people across the borders, be it in South Africa or Botswana for that matter, even if he didn't say that. That is why he gave an example of those tribes. Secondly, the point that he made is, we have so many people crossing the border from Zimbabwe, going into other countries and commit crime. And yes, Mr. Dube cannot deny that there are several people from any region in this country, for that matter, who commit crimes here and run away into South Africa. The other point that he made is, if you look at what is happening, especially in Matabeleland, you discover that for those who have been going across the border for several years, coming back, voting, you know, buying this and that, they set an example whereby some of the youngsters follow that negative example, that I won't take education seriously because I'll simply go across the border and come back, you know, buying solar panels, be it radios or some kind of clothes for that matter. And they never took education seriously.
Mr. Dube, your response here, but also looking at President Mugabe's not pointing out the issues that are going on in Zimbabwe, in particular the economy.
I also want to respond to what Mr. Mgonyi has just said. I don't disagree that, you know, there are people who are doing crimes in Zimbabwe, irregardless of the tribe. I personally have been robbed while I was driving in Mashonaland. Those were not Kalanga-speaking people who were in Mashonaland, but those were just individuals. It is not right to single out one tribe and say these people are the ones who are responsible with all the crimes which is taking place. Coming back again to your question, you know, we need our father to bring us all together and say this is the crisis which we Zimbabwean we are facing. And let's be truthful about this. If you date back and think back in the early 80s, Zimbabwe was so stable. How many people were going to South Africa? But today, as I'm telling you now, there are some of them, they are struggling, trying to make life, going to Botswana, going to Mozambique, going all over the place. But it's not because they want that to be that way. But it's a crisis that we as Zimbabwean, we should be looking onto and say, how could we try and stabilize the situation so that our people do not flow outside the country?
Mr. Ngwenya, what's your response to that issue that some are saying President Mugabe evaded the overarching issue that Zimbabwe's economy and political situation have been in turmoil, leaving so many Zimbabweans to have to go to neighboring countries?
Well, that is certainly a lie, and it's very disappointing that day in, day out, we see people not actually grasping or conceptualizing issues correctly. The extraordinary summit was not about the Zimbabwean economy. It was about coming up with the roadmap for industrialization within the SADC region. That is why even this issue, it came up as a question from journalists, because it was not part of the agenda. Therefore, there is no way someone can say the president evaded this and this.
And Mr. Dube, ending with you, is it your hope that President Mugabe might dial back these comments, as some are saying they want Mr. Mugabe to apologize?
Well, for me, if I realize that really I've offended my child, I think it takes me as a man to stand up and say, you know, son, I'm sorry for what I've said. I never meant it. We don't force him to say, you know, that he should apologize, but it all depends from bottom of his heart to think about what he said and to retract from what he said and take a step forward.
That was Difat Dube, a Zimbabwean Kalanga living in Britain, speaking with Studio 7. You also heard Morris Ngwenya, a political commentator and ZANU-PF activist. He was speaking with Studio 7 from Harare, and would like to apologize in the mix-up on the figures of people we have so far died in the attacks. In fact, 7 people died this year, and about 62 have died between 2000 and 2008 attacks.
People living with disabilities say Zimbabweans should change the way they perceive those who have various challenges if their lives are to change. They say a lot still needs to be done to ensure that they can access even the most basic facilities like public buildings. VOA Studio 7's Safari Njema reports.
Most people living with disabilities say the passage of time has not witnessed any change in the way local communities perceive them. They say negative attitudes have affected every area of their lives, at playgrounds, streets and workplaces. 24-year-old Mandy Dube is disabled in both legs and walks with the aid of a crutch. Dube, who is a champion wheelchair basketball player and regularly features in Paralympic Games, says disabled young women live with a lot of pain.
A female disabled person is not perceived as someone who can do everything that someone without a physical challenge can do.
However, Mendy, who works for the Gyros Jira Association, says people with disabilities can change public attitudes if they interact more among themselves through activities such as competitive sport. She says, with time, people will begin to appreciate their worth.
It's important for people with disabilities to meet so that they encourage each other and they get to see that you are not alone and there are others worse than you.
33-year-old Clever Mukazi, who walks with the aid of crutches and at times uses a wheelchair, says people with disabilities should celebrate Zimbabwe's independence from British rule. Mukazi, a father of one who stays with his family in Harare's Avenues area, however, feels that people with disabilities are being taken for granted by the government, which he believes is shunning them.
You often hear our government, they've got no budget for programs for people with disabilities.
The government has over the years attempted to address the needs of people with disabilities. Section 22 of Zimbabwe's constitution stipulates that the state and all institutions and agencies of government at every level must, within the limits of the resources available to them, assist persons with physical or mental disabilities to achieve their full potential. But 24-year-old Samantha Nyamukondiwa, who spent most of her primary and secondary school years learning together with the children having hearing and speech impairment at Lady Tate in Kadoma and Msengezi High School in Chegutu, says this alone is not enough to cater for their needs. She says they are still being discriminated even in places of recreation and leisure.
At pubs, you don't have maybe tailor-made chairs for people with disability. You know, either if you're disabled, you come with your wheelchair or just come with your crutches and then you stand all the while others are sitting or braying or doing whatever they're doing, facilities for the disabled people.
32-year-old Bright Kadengu is disabled in both legs. Kadengu, who is a talented musician, makes a living from entertaining people at restaurants. He says it is commendable that government appointed two senators to represent people with disabilities. However, he says there should be more legislators to represent their interests.
Those people also should be monitored, because some of these people, when you give them these opportunities, after having a cup of tea, they forget. So we need someone who we have a cup of tea, but we say, no, I'll have this cup of tea with my neighbor or with my brother.
Sidichi Tsiwa, a 34-year-old person with a disability who uses a wheelchair, agrees, noting that Zimbabwe needs to replicate some South African programs for the disabled that were created after independence in 1994, which cater for the needs of those facing various challenges.
South Africa came on board very lately, 1994, when they attained their independence. But they've managed to do a lot for their people with disabilities. For instance, they've got an income. Their transport system is conducive for any person with a disability.
Shingira Inyakupinda is living with albinism. He says negative attitudes towards people with disabilities are more likely to improve eventually if there are more opportunities for them in all sectors of the economy.
We might not be regarded as people who are in serious need. But when we look at the need for sunscreen lotions or for school fees, those are life-changing issues.
Shingirai says local people should make a commitment to encourage more interaction between children with and without impairments. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I am Safari Njema.
Thanks, Safari Njema. Please, listeners, stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts of the Women's Forum will be talking with listeners and experts about skin lightening creams as some Zimbabweans attack dark-skinned Miss Zimbabwe.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Youths of the MDC formation led by Morgan Tsvangirai today clashed with the police in the full glare of some leaders of the Southern African Development Community.
And an oncologist says women should stop using skin bleaching pills and creams, as the long-term use of these products may result in skin cancer.
That's our broadcast this evening.
And now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.